Turn with me over to, we're going to start out in Mark, around chapter 4 and 5. We'll be in Mark 5 at first. The topic this morning, you know, a lot of your morning devotionals are around the topic of faith, and that's where we'll be. And, you know, if you were to pick out one of the Gospels and just dig into the topic of faith, Mark would be a good one. I mean, it's definitely one of the themes of the Gospel of Mark. Mark 5, there's a story of a synagogue ruler whose daughter is deathly ill. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus is going with him to see this daughter. But while Jesus got distracted with someone else, they're en route, verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And then flip over to Mark 4, and you may know the story of Jesus in the boat with the disciples, and they're heading over to the other side, and a furious squall came up. Waves were breaking over the boat, and it had these disciples, some of them fishermen, scared to death. And Jesus stands up, rebukes the wind, quiets things down. And then he says in verse 40 to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, I've been in this role of the U.S. director, and I'd say each for 2 years and 8 months, give or take. And I'd say each challenge or each new opportunity that God's given my wife Pam and I through the years, it's very similar. It's not that much different than what you all are experiencing right now. Really, it's a new adventure. It's something that you're trusting God for, and you enter in to it. And I can remember entering in 2 years and 8 months ago with a naive enthusiasm and some fear. And some like, "What in the world, Lord, do you get me into?" And I'm sure that you all have some of those same feelings. And it's an amazing opportunity. I mean, I get to go around, I get to be with groups of people like you that have just given their hearts and their souls and their lives and have a desire to make disciples and build in the lives of people and give their lives away. I was in New York City just a few weeks ago with some young business professionals that are all in their 20s and early 30s that are working in Wall Street and working in some of the different financial firms, and they want to do what you all want to do. And so it just doesn't get much better than that. And at the same time, I've been challenged beyond my ability to endure in the last 2 years. I mean, like, not just, "Lord, what have you gotten me into?" but some other words for the Lord. I've suffered, and sometimes even at the hands of friends. And, like I said, I want to paint the picture it's an incredible opportunity. It's a calling, and it's amazing, but it's difficult. And in the midst of all these last couple years, these words, like in Mark chapter 5 and Mark chapter 4, actually haunt me. Because I am no different than that synagogue ruler at that moment when his friends came and told him that his daughter was dead. Or I'm no different than those disciples in the boat with the Master, with the Lord of the heavens and earth, scared to death that he can't take control of things. No different. And so this morning we're going to talk about faith. And we're going to look in the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippians. So you can turn over there. And Paul writes this from prison. So without a doubt, this book is written about faith in the midst of challenge. Faith in the midst of challenge. Now, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news this morning. Want the good news or the bad news first? Yeah, me too. We're going to spend most of our time in Philippians chapter 2, but I want to start in verse 27 of chapter 1. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. And get this, verse 29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and he could put in there, and probably would, knowing Paul, and Jesus did, and now hear that I still have. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. The bad news is, you know, John 16:33 it says, I've told you these things, that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have troubles or tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There's no question. And part of the reason that you have topics of faith, and you guys can figure this out yourself, the reason they have topics of faith for the first year EdgeCore people is because you need it really bad. And you may be like I was in the early days of this job with some naive enthusiasm. And that's good. And you should keep that, because in hope we can have great enthusiasm. And at the same time, we need to have great faith, because there will be challenges. And some of them will just be normal life challenges that you'd experience whether you were doing EdgeCore or coming on staff or not. And some of them will actually be things that are right in the midst of it. And you'll go, this shouldn't be happening. I'm with a bunch of believers. I'm doing ministry. There shouldn't be this happening. And so that's why the topic of faith is so helpful for us. So this morning we're going to look at three actions of faith in times of challenge. Three actions of faith in times of challenge. Why? Because faith is not a feeling. Faith is not something, and you know, I'm preaching to myself here, okay? So I can fall into these things as well. Faith is not where you wake up in the morning and there's a pit in your stomach because you know that you've got this meeting or this going on or a test or this or all different things going on. And then you kind of rally up some hope and some feelings, and it's like, okay, I'm good. So now I've got faith. You know, that may be a little bit of faith. It all depends on what happens after that, to be quite honest with you. Faith is just not simply a feeling, and it's not simply a belief that's here. Faith is proven through action. And we won't take time this morning. This could be in a whole other devotional. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. And just run what I just said through Hebrews chapter 11. And see what you think. So faith is when we act in ways consistent with God's word. Do you get that? Faith is when we act in ways consistent with God's word, despite the fact that we're afraid, we're vulnerable, and these faith actions might even put us at risk. And in most often, actually do. So three actions of faith in times of challenge. Picking up there in Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to read the first 11 verses, which if I were to pick 11 verses out of the New Testament that embody what it means to be like Jesus, or what we need to learn to be like Jesus, we could just camp there. I think it would be a worthwhile life pursuit to try to live out of this section. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete, Paul says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then Paul goes into the most profound and wonderful and vivid illustration of what he's just said in those first four verses. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So three actions of faith in times of challenge. The first action of faith that I bring you this morning, and these may not, you know, it may take a little bit for these to kind of soak in. How's that an action of faith? Trust me, it's an action of faith, and it will be an action of faith if you're able to do it in times of challenge. Verses 6 and 7. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to grasp, but made himself nothing. In the NASB or RSB, it says he emptied himself. The first action of faith is give up your rights. I was recently talking to a 20-something marketplace disciple who's in that transition period of life, working a job, and has been at this job for a period of time, and they're moving. They're going to be moving on from their job. And this person actually is working at an organization that actually happens to be a Christian organization. And they're going to be leaving at 4 months from now. And they said, well, yeah, I'm struggling with when I should let them know when I'm leaving. And you could get into a whole lot of, how do you get wisdom on when you let them know you're leaving? Because, you could give them 2 weeks, right? That's all you got to give them, right? Isn't that the right thing? We're dialoguing, and I'm like, you're 4 months out. Seems a little bit out there, what would happen if you let them know now? It's like, that'd be dangerous. Because they might hire somebody sooner than I'm ready to move on. Even in believing organization, I've had these kind of conversations with people working in secular places too, and it's like, oh man, they could really mess me over. I may not get what I need. I may not get what I want. I may not be able to act on my right to have control of my life, and my right to protect myself, and my right to be able to see this through and make sure I don't get messed over. Right? Not that any of us would think that way. We don't actually say those words. And I said, you're thinking about it and you're pretty close to a decision. I think you should start talking to him about it now. Because what does Jesus say how we're supposed to live? And this is an act of faith. We're talking an act of faith. Matthew 7:12, Jesus says, so in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. He doesn't put 14 qualifiers after that statement. Do to others when you'd have, what you'd have them do to you, if it's safe, if you're sure that they won't return like for like. He just says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. That's faith, my friends. Hard faith. To takes faith, especially when you go to love and you go to do to others what you'd have them do to you, and there's no guarantee that they will do the same in return. In fact, in many cases, and Jesus is a prime example, there's times where you can be sure that when you do to them what you'd have them do to you, they will not do it in return. And so the first act of faith in times of challenge is we give up our rights. And my friends, that's what being like Jesus is like, because he certainly did that, didn't he? And there will be times these next couple years in EdgeCore where you will come to places where you'll have to make that kind of decision with the people on your team, with the students you work with, and with other relationships, your family relationships, all the things that are involved with your life. Will I give up my rights by faith? Because it is an act of faith to live that way. So jot this down, because later I know that you, when we're done here, you all are going to have some time for reflection and talking with the Lord. Write this question down as an action that you can come back to. Is there someone in your life that you need to love, you need to do to them like you'd like them to do to you by faith? Is there someone in your life that you know of that you need to do to them like you would have them do to you? Someone in your life that you need to love in that kind of way by faith, because you're giving up your rights. The second action of faith in times of challenge is seen there in verse 7, after it says, "But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness." The Christian life is summed up in this: we serve in humility the very world who might hurt us, wound us, or even hang us on a cross. I believe that sums up the Christian life quite well, of how we as little Jesuses are meant to live in this world. The good news of Jesus is most vividly seen in the lives of humble people who serve despite hardship. The book of Second, if you want a great picture of faith in the midst of struggle, the book of Second Corinthians, or the letter of Second Corinthians, is amazing. You see into the life of Paul so deeply. A worthwhile study. And in chapter 4, starting in verse 5, and again, the backdrop of it, of 2 Corinthians, is Paul has been through the ringer. In fact, Paul says there in chapter 1, he says, we've been under such great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Now, I don't know that most of you during your EdgeCore year are going to despair even of life. Now, you might feel that way at times. But Paul's, that's the backdrop of what Paul's talking about, the context of it. And here, what does he say? He says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake." And then he goes on, and this is the power of it. So, servants, people who have emptied themselves and are being servants by faith, because it takes faith to serve, doesn't it? Most of us in this room, if we go into neutral, if we're filled with the Spirit and go into neutral, hopefully we're living like Jesus. But I'm talking about neutral when we're just kind of coasting and we kind of fall into our old patterns of thought and life. We can be pretty self-centered folks. I mean, if we're really honest about it, if Pam were here, she'd give testimony of how selfish I can be. And she'd give testimony of how selfish she can be. But Jesus calls us to serve. And certainly here, Paul is saying that, basically he's saying, for Jesus' sake, we're your servants. And then he goes on. Because what comes out of the life of a servant of Christ? Powerful stuff. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You want to have an impact on a campus this year? You want to have a deep impact? Be a servant, because servants have the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ that shines out of their life. And anyone around at that moment will see Jesus in your life. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The second action of faith in challenging times is to serve. In challenging times, is the most natural thing that comes to our mind to serve? No. That's why it's an action of faith. When you go through challenging times this next year or two, know that it'll take faith. It'll take believing that the Lord God who reigns and sits on the throne will be with you, even though you serve in times when you're challenged or you're struggling yourself. And certainly during your years of Edge Quarter, there'll be some opportunities for that. Here's something to write down for this second one. Consider this. Is there someone in your life that you need to serve? You need to actively do something for them by faith. And what I mean by that is, there's someone in your life that God would say to you, yes, you need to serve this person, but it's probably not someone on your top five list. It's easy and fun to serve people that we really like to serve. But are there people, and is there someone in your life that God would have you serve in a tangible way as an expression of faith? The third action of faith in times of trouble. Verse 9 to 11, there back. We're back in Philippians. Are any of you guys like me, have your Bible looks like a file cabinet? I probably would have flunked out of the Navigators in the early years, because I don't think it would have, might not have passed the muster. Verses 9 through 11, "Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The third action of faith that we see here in those last verses is utter dependence. We acknowledge Jesus as King. And our action of faith is that we utterly depend on Him. I mean, I grew up as, you know, my dad taught me to pull my, you know, self up by my own bootstraps, so to speak. He taught me to be, you know, kind of that biblical phrase, God helps those that help themselves. I'm just joking. That's not a biblical phrase. Didn't make it into the TMS. But I was brought up that way. I was brought up, work hard, you know, trust, you know, and in reality is trusting yourself first, and then later, if you need God's help, call to Him. And a lot of us can be brought up that way, and the world operates that way, really. And a lot of the church world, even, you know, when you really get after it, I mean, read some of the stuff that's in Christian bookstores. I mean, it's self-help stuff with a Christian label on it. Trust in yourself, and then when you need extra help, trust God. But that's not what the Bible teaches, is it? And so during the, you know, in my own testimony in these last 3 years, there's been plenty of opportunities for me to struggle with that and for God to break that down. That self-dependence. You know, and you could sit here and you might even, it'd be worthwhile to reflect on this, is what are the things in your own life that you depend on? You have some gifts and some strengths. You know, for me, you know, it's for me when I hit a challenge, when I hit a struggle, whether it's relationally or a work type thing or something that's not working, it's very easy for me to think, you know, to depend on my mind to come up with an answer, to depend on my perseverance to be able to fight through. And when we go through challenges, God breaks those things down and proves to us that those things do not work. I mean, they may work in the short term, but they don't work in the way that God wants the Christian life to work. He wants us to depend on Him, the one who is exalted, who sits on the throne. And for these last few years, you know, like I mentioned earlier, there were some situations and continue to be situations that bring me to the end of myself. And, you know, that phrase, bring you to the end of yourself, that can be real easily said. But join me in what it feels like, because you all have felt that way too. You just come to the end of yourself, and you know you're challenged beyond your what you can do. You know, there's been sleepless nights, there's been pain for myself, and there's been pain for others. And the third action of faith during challenging times is utter dependence. In the watches of the night. Many, many, many nights I cried out Psalm 18, 1 to 3. I love you, O Lord, my strength. You know that God doesn't just promise to give you strength, but that God can be your strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Night after night, rolled those psalms over in my head, that psalm over in my head. Or Isaiah 41 verse 13, I am the Lord your God. I love this one. Isaiah 41, 13, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. And I think of a little kid, and I'm that little kid holding on to his hand and walking with my daddy, and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And there'll be times this next couple years, there'll be times in the next week, there'll be times probably today for some of us where we'll need that. We'll need to remember that the third action of faith is utter dependence. It's not what we're taught in America. We're taught to be strong. We're not taught to be weak. So for this third one, I'd ask you, is there a challenge in your life? Is there a challenge in your life, something that causes you to fear, maybe a relational issue that's causing stress? Might be a family challenge or a family issue, maybe a sin issue. Is there something, some challenge in your life that you're tempted to try to do it alone? That what you need is you need to act in faith and utterly cling to the promises that God gives, that He will be with you, that He will hold your hand, He will help you. So three actions of faith in times of challenge. Give up your rights. Act in faith to give up your rights and do to others what you'd have them do to you, even when it doesn't make sense. Second action, serve as unto Christ. Because it's out of the life of a servant that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shines forth, even though we're jars of clay. And the third one is depend utterly on Christ because He is faithful. Let me pray for you all. Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we know that You are faithful. We believe it. We believe it. We choose to believe it. Sometimes it doesn't, we don't feel that way, but we come before You right now and we proclaim it because we know it's true that You are faithful. You are strong. You are mighty. You are dependent. You are dependable. You are the one in whom we can put our hope. And Lord, so I pray for this group of men and women that You would allow them to be men and women of faith in the model of Jesus. Men and women who are able to give up their rights, even when it seems risky. Men and women who serve in an onlooking world is amazed. Men and women whose hope is deeply grounded in an utter dependence upon You. And Lord, I pray that You would do a work in them, that You would make Yourself more famous in their eyes this year because they see You working, that You draw them to Yourself in ways they've never experienced, that You give them friendships with one another that honor You, and they experience community and fellowship in a way that they've never experienced before. And Lord, that You would use them to reach lost people with Your good news. That You'd use them to build deeply into the lives of a few. That the end of this year or the next couple years, that they'd be able to look back and see Your fingerprints on their lives and the lives of others. All for Your glory and honor and praise, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.